hour number two, and going down to Las Vegas to talk to Gary Holland and get his input, his ideas, his take on two or three of the big stories today, and there are a number of them. Klaus Schwab has left or is leaving the World Economic Foundation. He's gone. There's an investigation underway already into Mr. Schwab. Not exactly saying what, but the WEF confirmed an investigation into founder Klaus Schwab. So we'll watch that with some amusement and delight. Now, the big story is Klaus Schwab's replacement. This is really getting to be hard to believe. I mean, it's so crazy now out there. They're not even pretending to be normal in their approach toward putting out a public image or anything of the sort. These people are flat out evil, and they're making no effort to hide it or pretend it isn't real. Not at all. Gary, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing okay this evening, Jeff. How are you doing?
I guess I could say I'm doing a little better than Klaus Schwab, but I'm not sure about that. You never know.
Well, if you look what's going on in the world economic order, it's starting to seem that anyone in a authoritarian position in regards to world finance, world economic, control, these think tanks and these organizations, they're starting, it's the rats leave, abandoned ship. Now, obviously, Klaus Schwab is 87 years old. Mentally,
he doesn't
I don't know
look
where
a day
he's
over
at.
86. Amazing.
Mentally, we don't know where he's at. I'm assuming he's on a cognitive decline at this point. Unless they give him life extension, treatments. But here's the thing. Now, if they're going to give him life extension treatments, they wouldn't be throwing him under the bus the way they are. And then again, figuring at his age and how they believe in a very strange belief system that these people have, he voluntarily might even be willing to throw himself to the wolves or fall on the proverbial sword.
Anything's possible.
For the God status they believe they're going to receive in the new dimensional plane. And so they believe it in their own strange belief system that they move on to the next dimensional plane, that they're even have even more power and more wealth and capability to kill more people and
limitless nothing
limitless.
To challenge
and it's
them.
Already limitless nothing. To where they're at already they get to move around this planet and commit heinous acts of crimes against humanity with impunity. They don't get in trouble. They're the ones who make the rules, so therefore they can break the rules that they made themselves. And then who's going to investigate them? Well, they're going to investigate themselves. So, good luck.
I
never believed in that. Jeff, it's funny
things.
How, like, all these organizations, like, say, for example, the World Economic Forum, probably, I would say, over $1 billion he probably siphoned off from the public funds of WEF, donations or ever how they fund themselves.
Good point. Let's say he pilfered $1 billion. Zelensky has him beat probably 10 times over. Talk about stealing. I'll bet Zelensky's stolen 10 to 15, 20 billion, maybe. It was a stream of money. And he dunked and dunked and dunked and took as much as he could. And I'll bet it's mega billions. Anyway, point well taken. Yeah.
Jeff, I'm starting to believe that these, like Zelensky, for instance, You know, I'm not starting to believe. I actually believe. I start more and more to look like to me that Zelensky was a CIA asset or some type of U.S. intel or Western,
it's a Zionist
one Western
asset.
Intel. Sure, yeah, Mossad. But it really seems he's some type of intel asset. Either Mossad, look, they're all the same. They're all one big brotherhood, right? They all interchange. Yeah. They all hold hands and sing, you know, Kumbaya, you know, which, and of course, that doesn't mean in a nice term. It means that let's kill as many people and, you know, subjugate people as much as we can and do the most inhumane possible acts on this planet. He seems to be that. I'm sure Russia wouldn't have some type of inkling that he is, which may be the reason why he was never been assassinated. You know,
he's
for
protected.
All the stories over the years, Jeff, I've heard in the mainstream media, and even not just on mainstream media, but mainstream alt media. I do it with my fingers, you know, quotes, right? We hear all these years, oh, Putin assassinated this guy, and he's assassinating his opponents. He's assassinated foreign people. He's assassinated everyone around the world. But yet the main guy that he's at war with, that he could have easily offed a million different times, had so many different opportunities to do it, he doesn't touch him. He doesn't touch none of the Zionist oligarchs in the Ukraine cabinet, which are all intel assets. You know, look, the Ukrainian government is for intel by intel. It is what it is.
It's a Jewish-run enterprise, and it's being looted, and Christians are being exterminated. That's the first step
That's the esoteric goal.
That's right. And don't forget about the Zionist Jewish oligarchs in Russia who are calling a lot of the shots, too. And I do believe they told Putin in the beginning, this man is not to be killed. Very simple.
No. And exactly. So you have multiple Jewish oligarchs in Ukraine running in their government. You have multiple Jewish oligarchs that are in Russian government. They might not have official, so-called, been voted in. But as we know, it doesn't matter. Anyway. They've been placed there. And so for you, anyone in this and with even a slight level of brain matter left in their head, with lukewarm, IQs, would not be stupid enough to believe that the oligarchs, the Jewish Zionist oligarchs of Russia, are not friends with the Jewish Zionist oligarchs of Ukraine. It doesn't even make sense to believe that they're enemies at all, because they're not. And so when you have that fact behind this war, you start saying to yourself, is this a war of an actual war out of defense through Russia defending itself or vice versa? Probably not. It's a money-making scheme, and it's also, like you said, it's to kill as many white Christians as possible, because that's the goal. If you look around the world and you look at through a soft genocide, which is just basically bringing in multi-millions of sub-Saharan Stone Age morons from Africa and flooding them into Europe, destroying the white population of Europe. They figured out a way to reduce the white Christian population of Russia by just getting them into an endless war where no one wins. It's just,
Who
I
wins?
Kill 10,000 of you, you kill 10,000 of us.
You know this very well, Gary. There's always a winner. And in this case, as is the case in all wars, the involved military-industrial complexes always win. There's a lot of material being blown up on both sides of the skirmish line, so to speak, and that has to be replaced. And usually it's being replaced with newer weapon systems. So everybody wins in terms of money. It's the people who always suffer. Always.
Yeah, I'll rephrase that. The citizens of Russia and the white citizens of Russia, the white citizens, day-to-day citizens of Ukraine, are not the winners. They're the losers.
That's why 14 million of them have fled.
Members.
They've fled, 14 million, and they're not coming back. Greater Israel.
But then again, so what do you have? Again, so you have a pure white country save Ukraine. 14 million get out of Ukraine. They go in diaspora around the world. Let's say 25% of the women are forced immediately into white slavery, prostitution, sex trafficking. Okay, so let's eliminate all them. Who's left over? Let's just say even regular people, they migrate to wherever they go and get protected status. Right. Now, what do you have? Say you have, out of these white Ukrainian women, how many are going to intermingle with other races once they go into a Western country? Because Western countries are gone. Europe gone, right. United States gone, Canada gone, Australia gone, New Zealand gone. What's left? There isn't any. Because Russia's left, right, and Eastern Europe's left. But what they're doing is, if they won't get you by interracial genocide, they'll get you through low birth rates, through starvation, or through economic oppression, like we're giving Russia right now, economic oppression. And then, of course, war, too, where they'll just get rid of millions of whites that way. So either one or the other, they will get rid of the right white Russian
culture. It's a genocide. It's a genocide of Christians and Muslims. Now, between the two, obviously, the Western world is supposedly predicated on Christian values. But that's changing. You've got 150,000 black Somalis, many Muslim, in Minneapolis now. I believe that's correct. About 100,000 in Dearborn, Michigan, another group. These people will never assimilate here. They will only destroy, dilute, and degrade. That's all they're going to do. That's why they were brought here.
Well, think about it with the Muslims, Jeff. Sunni and Shia Muslims can't even integrate with themselves.
No,
right? They can't live next to each other without killing each other. So you expect that mentality, and of course they hold a couple of 2,000 and 3,000 year old tribal beefs, right?
Yeah.
Their ancestors from the year 10,000 BC, right? They're still fighting their fights. And they will never, that's what happens when you have no capability as a people to evolve. They have no capability of that. It's not in their DNA. And I know a lot of people might be angry about what I'm saying right now, but it proved me wrong. Look at every country that there's you have various Muslims. You have Syrian Muslims and Semitic Muslims, and you have Arab Muslims, right? You have Iranians and Iraqis, right? You have Egyptian Muslims, you have Persian Muslims. You have all these various kinds of white Muslims, all these different various races that are Muslim. But if we group Muslims as a people, the mentality, if you look at it, they have a very hard time evolving. Now, yes, there's a very, I'd say, less than 10, maybe 10% of the Muslim population that does understand that they need to evolve beyond their insanity of the last so many thousand, 800, right? 700, 8th century.
The funny thing about the Muslims is that people don't know this. For almost 800 years, they had the world's most advanced civilization all around the Mediterranean. Let's use that as a target area. From the Middle East all the way to France and all across North America, North Africa, I should say. They had advanced sciences, advanced math. They had literature. It's a forgotten era in history. It's about 800 years worth. Now, that's not to say that the religion was behind all these things. These were people creating and achieving many things in the arts and the sciences. It was quite amazing, but you never hear about that. And they did it.
But see, Jeff, that's when Muslims didn't have a big stronghold in that time period. That's when they were starting to conquer. And as they conquered, their teaching went from science and philosophy and an educated, intelligent population to the only learning they do is through the Quran. And that's it.
Right.
You know, in certain Muslim countries, if the only book they're allowed to teach from is the Quran.
Not
that's
good.
It. And when you're teaching just as all you're steeped
world.
In, Quran from morning till night, Then you get home and say you're at a school, and if you want to call it that, and then you go home and you're again steeped in the Muslim belief system, where the mother, you watch the mother sleep at the floor at the end of a bed like a dog.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
and and if the father doesn't want to deal with the wife anymore, he will accuse her of something of a lie. But that doesn't matter because all the men believe the male before they will their own daughter, say, for instance, if it's a father. And then she's subjugated to being casted out of the family. What does that mean when you're casted out of a family, in a Muslim family? Well, you're put in a dark room and locked in the rest of your life.
Yeah. It's worse. Honor killings every year. Yeah. I don't know how many there are perpetrated in the world, but it's a lot. Thousands of women are killed unmercifully by their husbands, and they get off with it because that's the rule of Islam. If a wife humiliates the husband, she can be put to death. This is not a religion of today. No, that's right. No, for any reason, they can kill them any way they want.
Yep.
They kill them here. I think we got 25 or 30 a year here acknowledged in the U.S. now in the Muslim community. This is nuts. And then female genital mutilation? This is not any. This is 1,500, 2,000 years ago. It's crazy.
And that's their belief system. And like I said, if you grow up in a country and all your one educational book is the Quran, morning and night, and your whole life is around the Quran, the imam with his insane sermons, the father who's constantly beating on the mother like she's like some pet, and you're a male in that society. It's like, well, your duty is to Islam and Islam only. Human kindness is no such a thing. Sympathy is out the door. Everything. It's just a no mercy, cruel system. And then you take that mentality and put them, say, in Dearborn, Michigan, Minneapolis, Lewiston, Maine. I can name the cities. And then they act out in a manner that's considered not civilized. They act out in a manner, in a murderous, butcherous manner towards their own family and, you know, beat their wife to death or hack her to death or whatever they've done here. Where a father, there was a story, Jeff, in Texas, the daughter was moved here at a very young age. They got their citizenship, or the daughter might have actually been born here. The father got annoyed because apparently she was dating a white boy in a high school somewhere in Texas. He literally chased her down with a machete and hacked her to death, his own daughter, because he was angry that she was married or dating outside a predetermined man that they picked
story.
For her and had
this
ready
happens.
To go.
I saw one the other day, another one. It happens. I don't know, honestly, if you can find legitimate statistics about how many honor killings are. Let's just see what it says here. Honor, how many honor killings are committed annually? I should put in the world. Okay, let's just see what it says here. It might be interesting.
And I would say any number the U.S. government puts out, Jeff, times that times 50 to 100.
Sure. Honor killing. Most often the murder of a woman or girl by male family members. The killers justify their actions by claiming that the victim has brought dishonor and shame upon the family name or its prestige. How nuts is that? I mean, really, when you think about it, how crazy is that? And that's just common? And
you see how they word it, Jeff, by the way? When they say, because now they see how they sanitize it. Well, the honor killing is because they dishonor family. They dishonor the family or the prestige of the family. Based on what? Now, where does the honor of the family and the prestige based on? Whatever the Quran tells them. See, they don't draw the link.
Whatever the husband says, you want a divorce?
But where do they get that education from? They're getting it from the Quran. They're getting it from the imam. They're getting it from the local, the local madrasa, right? And so that's where you're getting your information from, and that's what the only place you're getting your information from. Right. So therefore, that to them, well, you're a man, and a man in Islam, the wife's a property. Women are property. That's why they had the head coverings, and they cover their faces and with the burqas and a lot of these ass backwards places and different things like that. That's what they do. Now, in their countries, I will say this. I don't want them in my country. And the reason why that is because they cannot control. They bring that mentality, and they want to act out that mentality, and they want to force the rest into that mentality wherever they move to.
Or you're out. You're in trouble. It's 5,000 a year officially, but the real story here is about 20,000. 20,000 a year. Women are butchered and beaten to death by their family members. Don't forget that. These aren't stranger criminals on the street. These are family members.
Now, if they want to do that in their own countries, well, that's their business. It's their country. They chose to go that direction in their country.
Yeah.
And as long as they don't bring that onto other non-Muslim countries, that's their lives. I don't think, as an American, we have a right to go into countries and start dictating how they're going to run their civilizations, right? It's a losing cause doing that anyway, as you can tell with Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam, the list goes on and on and on, right? You know, how many countries where we tried to push our agenda and our way of life, and it turned out to be a disaster? Well, every country we've tried to do that in. There is no exception, right? Every country we've gone in and tried to, give them instant democracy, like a cup of instant coffee. It always blown up in our face and cost us trillions of dollars. And of course, that was never the main goal ever. Anyway, the main goal is just go in there, kill as many people as possible, make as much money on the military industrial complex. Jewish banking gets their percentage.
That's
of
what
the cut.
You just defined war. That's what war is all about.
Yep.
Let's go back to the World Economic Forum. Some people call it a foundation, but anyway, WEF. Klaus Schwab is out, and if you click under Gary's name and guess, you'll go to a very well done story. It's got a lot of pictures of the successor, second smartest guy in the world. His page, let's see, written by Steve Watson, though. Oh, all right. Well, anyway, it's been reposted by the second smartest guy in the world. Now, if you look at this, and you should look at it, you'll see Klaus Schwab in the first image. The second image is of his successor, Peter Brabeck, or Brabeck. I think it's Brabeck, but anyway. And I can't even begin to pronounce the hyphenated last name, so I won't. Peter Brabeck, we'll call it, that's what we'll call it. He's been appointed interim chairman at the World Economic Forum. Now, just look at this guy, please. Now, tell me if this is not strange. He's obviously had cosmetic surgery. He obviously is wearing a toupee. And if you check out the eyeball on the right, our right, his left eye, is that a totally blood pen? There's blood in the eyeball. It's red. And it looks like a bionic eye. And it's not squinted as much as the other eyes. That suggests it doesn't see. It suggests it might be a blind eye. All right, take a look at the first picture of him and go all the way down to the bottom. Same guy. He's bald, shaved his head, or nearly buzzed his head. All right, look at this guy. His eye, still not right. It's much bigger than the other eye. And you can see this is before he's had his plastic surgery. Now, go all the way back up to that second picture and look again. And you'll see the cosmetic surgery. That's fine. I don't care. People can have it. But you see the difference. And you see the toupee, and you'll see there's that damn red, that red beastly eye staring at you. Now, Peter Brabeck doesn't think that any human on the planet has a God-given birthright to access to clean water. Yes, you heard that right, and many of you already knew it. You do not have the right to clean water. You're going to have to pay for it. Now, this guy was the head of Nestle Foods for a long time. I don't know, 20, 25, 30 years, something like that. So Peter Brabeck is not one of our friends. Let's put it that way. He's now chairman, interim chairman of the World Economic Forum. He doesn't look like he's from this planet. He's a very strange-looking guy. His eye isn't always like that. Just on this day, he was struggling to maintain human form, writes Watson, and that's kind of clever and kind of interesting. You've seen these videos of people who have trouble maintaining their human form, and they glitch into a reptilian form. There's a lot of those out there. I don't think they're all fake either. I can't rule them all out. There's some strange things going on out there. But this guy is a real oddball, and he doesn't think you deserve to have access to water. That's a hell of a leader, isn't it? Go ahead, Gary.
Well, if you look at his last picture at the very bottom, there's a picture right here with him. He's bald, and I guess his hair plugs or whatever.
That's the one I wanted you to go down.
The whole toupee thing that was going on top of that, whatever that.
No, it's a rug.
The dead
he's
cat or the rug or the dead cat that was on top of his head. But look at his look. The look, he has that look, that stare, the psychopath stare. If you look up a picture, Jeff, of Ted Bundy, and then you compare it side by side to this guy, they have the same look. That same feral, wild animal look.
That's a good word. Very good word. Feral.
Is that he just wants to kill you. By the way, that water, if you remember, there's also a name from history from the 80s, Maurice Strong. If you remember, he started that American Water Corporation. I know Dr. Eric Carlstrom talks passionately about Maurice Strong. And he was, let's put it this way, I don't think...
he lived up there in the San Luis Valley in Colorado with him. Same place.
I don't think Maurice Strong was ever on Dr. Eric Carlstrom's Christmas card list. But told the truth about him. Maurice Strong was also involved with the UN water projects, and same as this guy with Nestle Water. And then, of course, they want to own all the clean water rights for their bottled water to sell it to you. And you're not even getting clean water even when you get the bottled water. Mostly, if you look at bottled water, Jeff, most of it, if you look at the back of a bottle, plastic bottle of water, they sell them big cases at like your Sam's Club, Costco, your grocery stores. It's all microplastics. It is. And so you're drinking a lot of microplastic.
They're finding in some people, apparently, almost a teaspoon. This is what I read. A teaspoon worth of microplastics, at least by weight and volume in the brain of some people.
Yeah.
This is not good. This is not good at all.
Now,
add to that
where
the COVID
does that
bioweapon?
Plastic get induced into the bloodstream? Well, it gets induced through the intestinal tract and stuff like that. What I would suggest, if people are drinking plastic bottle of water, I would suggest 4 to 6, it's just my opinion, don't take it as advice, as like some type of medical advice. What I would do if I drink from plastic bottles, and I do on occasion, sometimes it's literally you can't, it's not preventable. Sometimes you do. What I do is I would suggest you take at least 2 to 3 tablespoons of coconut, unrefined cold-pressed coconut oil per day, and about 6 tablespoons of ACV a day, apple cider vinegar. raw.
And you mix that
and
in
make
something?
Sure the apple cider vinegar. Well, the first, I put it in a smoothie. I put my coconut oil in the smoothie. Right. I mean, just the amount of benefits you get from coconut oil is just amazing.
Do you buy it in the liquid form or the form that is white?
Solid form. And it's unrefined, cold-pressed organic coconut oil.
Yeah, I have Nutiva.
And you can tell the difference
brand.
Between a refined. Yeah, you can tell the difference, Jeff, between refined, by the way, and or what they call treated, right? Coconut oil versus untreated cold press. It's such a big difference in the consistency and stuff like that. If someone gives you like liquid form of coconut oil, it's been refined. It's been changed. And you don't want the refined process. They use hexane, and that's not a good. No, that's not good. Cold press is just, they just press it on a press, and that's where the oil comes from. But I would suggest that. And why? Because when you, especially the ACV, is a miracle for your digestive system. It just is. Now
that's Bragg's.
ACV, make sure you look at the
That's Bragg's yeah. apple cider vinegar. But unfortunately, since Patricia died, she was a good friend of mine for a long time, decades. They allegedly have changed some of the constitution of these products. Now, I would ask you just to check on the ACV. Gary, do you know anything about that? Have they changed anything about ACV in the last year?
No, it just says water. And so are they using Santa Barbara municipal water? I don't know.
It would be Goleta.
Yeah, or Goleta.
I would think.
Do they have their own private well? I'm not sure. I don't know if they
do. It should say filtered on it, no matter what it is.
It should say at least filtered. And you'll see some companies that sell apple cider vinegar, diluted apple cider vinegar, because there's a company called a brand called Fairchild's on, and you get that online, which is 100% pure ACV with not diluted at all, and you dilute it yourself, which is what I get. I rather dilute it myself, but when if I don't, there's a couple of places out there where you look at the back, make sure you always read the back of the bottle, not the front, and read filtered water.
It should say filtered. I'm surprised it doesn't. Water can mean almost anything. It can be recycled sewage water. Could be almost anything. Legally, that's all they have to say. Water, and they can do anything they want.
And of course, the municipal water supplies, like you see on the bottle, a lot of these plastic water bottle companies, you know, these water they sell, it'll say sourced from a municipal water source, meaning they just pumped it out of the ground at a city water supply at a factory somewhere. Yeah, it's all fluoride. And so you have to be very careful with that, too. I buy bottled water out of glass bottles. And they're not too, the prices aren't too bad. You know, they're pretty reasonably priced. And I usually will get it from a source like a mountain spring source that's actually from that mountain spring. And I preferably not from California, not from anywhere is it like a Southern California so-called mountain source, because most of the time a Southern California mountain source is the municipal water supply of either Rancho Cucamonga or Ontario or San Bernardino. Arrowhead water. I'll explain like Arrowhead water for example. And I know I'll just say Arrowhead. Arrowhead's owned by Nestle Water. They own what used to be regional water supply places like Poland Springs back east, Arrowhead in California, and there's a couple other companies around the United States. They make it sound like they're getting it from a mountain source. But what is Arrowhead Mountain? Okay, they said from Lake Arrowhead or Arrowhead. But it's actually pumped out of the ground in Ontario, in the city of Ontario. That's where the water comes from. So they can technically say, yes, they're getting sourced water from Arrowhead. Yeah, well, okay, well, where does that mean? Well, they say, well, as long as they can prove partial water from the water table they're drawing out of Ontario, right, comes from the mountains, obviously, the San Bernardino Mountains right outside of Ontario. You know, I'll say, well, yeah, see, the water's coming from Lake Arrowhead in the San Bernardino Mountains. So then that's how they get this legal loophole around that. And I understand that Poland Springs in Maine, Poland Spring water is pretty much the same thing. They draw it out of, I forgot there's a city around Poland Springs, around that area in Maine. And they're getting it probably from a city water supply there, too. Or some close municipal water supply.
Well,
in Maine,
if you
more
don't
of a rural
see...
state.
You don't want reverse osmosis water necessarily, but you've got to at least have filtered in front of the word water on a label before you should buy it. You shouldn't, if it doesn't say at least filtered, and we don't know what kind of filter they're using. We don't know unless you call them, and they may not tell you. Sorry, that's proprietary. We can't tell you. But you need to have at least filtered water. If it just says water, you're probably getting fluoride.
Yeah, which ain't good. And going back to the microplastic thing, so what is the coconut oil do? Well, it puts a very thin lining on your in your intestinal tract. It helps good flora. What it will help do with the microplastics, it helps you pass it through your, obviously, through, you know.
Yeah.
Through going
so it
to the
goes
bathroom.
Right on out. It goes right on out.
It goes right on out. Exactly.
Okay, so it doesn't stop.
I'm not going to guarantee 100% of it's going to go out, but a good portion of it will.
I'll take it. So it's coated with something, and it keeps moving.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All
right. Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, look, I don't want to, I know it's kind of an odd subject to talk about, but my bowel movements, Jeff, since I've been taking apple cider vinegar now going on 30 years, and I've been doing the same thing with coconut oil. I don't have bowel problems. I don't.
Good, clean,
I couldn't tell you when I've ever been constipated, Jeff. I don't get constipated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't get...
How much ACV do you take? And you put it in your
I take six
smoothie.
Tablespoons a day. Yeah, I
Does
take
it...
two in the morning, two in the afternoon, midday, and I take two in the evening.
Okay.
And I spread it out throughout the day, and it's wonderful. It just, I suggest it. I mean, you know, the thing was, Jeff, is like, you know, people, I've never had acid reflux. I don't get them problems. And remember, I don't remember the doctor. It might have been Dr. Russell Blaylock. He said one thing that stuck with me for decades. All health starts in the gut.
Yeah.
Your health, if you want to know where do you pinpoint, where's the first place to start to get on the track of better health, it starts in the gut. What do you put in your stomach? Are you putting in junk food, aspartame? I mean, look, there's so many chemicals out there now in our food supply, just in our food supply, is that you're fighting an uphill battle if you don't watch what you're eating. Go to Walmart. I challenge anyone. I know, obviously, in this audience is the most educated audience on this planet. That's my, not just my opinion. That's my belief. So I'm not.
Thank you.
When we're talking to the core audience, they already. You don't watch what you're eating. Go to Walmart. I challenge anyone. I know, obviously, in this audience is the most educated audience on this planet. That's my, not just my opinion, that's my belief. So I'm not,
thank you.
When we're talking to the core audience, they already, any grocery, main grocery store, like any type of mainline grocery store, Walmart, Albertsons, they have Smith's out here, Kroger's other place, they call them Kroger's and other places, you know, and or Vons or whoever. You go in these stores, and see what people are putting in their baskets.
Oh, no, it's frightening.
Piles
it's awful.
Of frozen pizzas, like aspartame sodas,
yeah.
You know, just sugary drinks, cakes. Just
think,
I
think
can't
about
imagine
it this way,
how people
too.
Put that in their system.
Well, they get sick and they die. Think about it this way. If you have a big, full shopping cart of processed foods, there are literally thousands of ingredients on those labels, on those products that you don't need and don't want to be near. And they're in there, and people just wolf them right down. If you have one course of antibiotics, you're, as an adult, 7 pounds on average of good digestive bacteria in your digestive tract is gone. It's wiped out by the one course of antibiotics. Good luck trying to rebuild it. Some say it can never be rebuilt the way it was when you were born, and you get through life with lousy digestion, primarily because your bacteria has been severely compromised, if not wiped out, every time you have antibiotics. And you know how often doctors prescribe antibiotics? All the time.
And what does the antibiotics lead to? Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, along with lots of dairy, too. But I will give
Thanks for mentioning that. If you have Crohn's, first thing you should try to do, this is not medical advice, it's common sense, cut out all, as in capital A, all dairy for at least 1 week and see what happens. That's cheese, cottage cheese, ice cream, yogurt, whatever. Cut out all dairy and give it a week to 10 days, at least a week, and then see how you're doing. My cousin was facing surgery, and I told her the same thing. Don't do it. Put the surgery off for a month. Will you give me a month? Okay. Put it off. She did. Now, no dairy. Within 2 weeks, she was 100% back to normal. And the doctors say, we can't understand this. Where the Crohn's went, it's gone. Now, that's just her case. But Crohn's is linked to the bacteria. They're bad bacteria, too, remember, in dairy. So put that on your list of things to think about if you've got any digestive problems. Cut the dairy back.
Now, if I was a person who absolutely must have some sort of milk, right, some animal milk, I would never drink cow milk. Now, I would drink goat's milk. Goat milk is the closest form of milk to human milk that you'll get. Now, all my children, had goat's milk as infants. None of that formula. You want to see some scary stuff? Read Enfamil or Similac. Read the back of that contents of that container, and you wonder why so many boys are having problems with estrogen. How they're growing. How these children are coming out feminized, effeminate. And having puberty problems, or the girls who are going into puberty at 9, 8, 9, and 10 years old, because that's what they had. They had Similac and Enfamil, and that's like the first thing a doctor, of course, getting paid kickbacks. The pediatricians always get paid something, bonuses for whatever whatever they promote and push. But pediatricians absolutely make a ton of extra side money, right, on promoting Similac and Enfamil. And then there are two main brands of baby formulas. GMO soy, Ace K, aspartame.
Yeah.
Fake, cheap Chinese-made nutritional vitamins that they put into that. Minerals, like it's all just chemically... It's just chemical waste in powdered form. That's really, if you want to understand what what formula is, that's what it is. There's mother's milk is always best, but secondly, if the mother has problems breastfeeding, then the next best step is to go with goat's milk. Just me.
Yeah.
Raw goat's milk, by the way. Raw goat's milk.
That's not easy to find.
I know there's 3 or 4 farms in California that has them. I know out in Nevada, I think there's a couple around in this local area, as a matter of fact, in the Las Vegas area, Arizona. Again, like I said, if you have a need to drink animal's milk, right, I would never drink cow's milk at all. And if you are determined to drink cow's milk, you only would drink raw milk from cows. I don't understand why you would drink any processed, homogenized anything, because it's not even real milk at that point. And it's done in factory dairies where there's like thousands of cows in lines, and then they cannibalize the dead cow and feed it back to the other cows, being constantly loaded with antibiotics. And of course, yeah, they're not, supposedly they're not using growth hormones anymore, but they just use an alternative form of a hormone, just not growth hormones. And then they use endless amounts of antibiotics. I think it was you told me, Jeff, and I, and I've read other studies and papers on this. The amount of pus and illnesses, even in homogenized pasteurized milk, will blow your mind.
Yeah, it's way up.
Because you got to understand it. What are these cows doing? Well, they're full of steroids. They stay up 24 hours, standing up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, constantly pumping out milk, using amphetamines to increase the production. The other various forms of manipulation they do in these factory dairy farms. And then, of course, I know a lot of people go, oh, they're just a dumb animal. Well, they're not. You have an animal that has emotionally depressed, standing in a small suffering, basically, standing in the same spot, right, eating this ugly gruel, constantly having these pumpers on their nipples. I mean, no matter what, the animal has some form of feelings, and you're getting that hormone in the directly injected into the milk by the animal through fear, adrenaline, right? And various other response hormones, flight or flight, flight or fight response hormones in these cows, and you're drinking that stuff.
Right. No good. Adrenaline, antibiotics. Here's Dr. Scott Jensen. Just 2 minutes. Take a listen. This is important.
Hi. I'm Dr. Scott Jensen, and I am not exaggerating when I tell you, if you're a patient, your doctor, your insurance company, your clinic, your hospital, we can all get paid more if we make you sicker. And I think you need to understand that. This patient's on Medicare. His insurance company will get paid more by Medicare if this patient is seen as more sick. There's all kinds of incentive plans being doled out by insurance companies and governments, government programs, to clinics and providers and healthcare systems. For instance, one of them that you may have heard of is, if a clinic can hit a certain threshold level of patients taking a certain kind of vaccine, they get paid a chunk of money for each one of those patients that took the vaccine. So it's not uncommon to have like an influenza vaccine incentive program, and say you have 1,000 patients that could potentially qualify. Well, if you could hit, say, 60%, you might get this amount of money per patient. If you can hit 80%, they'll give you this much. Literally, doctors can get tens and tens of thousands of dollars on an annual basis for an incentive program as simple as that. Here's another one. If we can call you diabetic, based on some parameters, even if we're not treating you with a medication or didn't really do anything for you, if we can call you diabetic and we do a test called an A1C. Now, if we do an A1C and we get a 6.8 reading, that allows us to call you diabetic, even if we don't do anything for you. And when a person has diabetes, generally a doctor or a clinic will get a good mark if they can keep that person's A1C less than 7.5, sometimes less than 8, sometimes less than 7. But if you can call someone a diabetic with an A1C of 6.8, you don't have to do anything. You just get to put them down as a diabetic, and they'll count as a good patient for you because you've gotten their A1C to less than 7 or 7.5. So all of a sudden, you've got this bizarre incentive to call as many of your patients as possible as diabetics.
All right, just a little sneak peek behind the curtain. You all mostly know this. It's very dangerous to go to doctors. Sorry, and there's some wonderful doctors out there listening right now. But you know the problems you have. You know the problems of your contemporaries. And I just don't know where to go with younger doctors. Without AI, they won't have a chance. And in a way, if AI is programmed legitimately and can actually go through, let's say, all of medical history, you're probably going to do better with AI than some kid out of med school who really doesn't know anything.
Well, Jeff, you got to understand with most doctors, 90% of doctors in this country are controlled and basically cultists of the AMA dogma. AMA is a corporation.
Absolutely.
The American Medical Association is basically a firm that collects lots of money from pharmaceutical companies. What a shock. And big hospital corporate syndicates. Because if you look at most of the board membership, Jeff, of baby formula companies, crap food like fast food, junk food, medical pharmaceuticals, medical large hospital syndicates, right? PPO, HMOs, and then even on the boards of national funeral chains, they're all the same people. Pretty amazing. They got you from birth to death, and they make money at every step along the way. It's just crazy how people allow that to happen.
I know. Well, they do. Gary, thank you for being here, as always. We learn things. And talk to you soon, and take good care out there. It's crazy.
You have a good evening, Jeff, and be safe.
Thank you. All right, Gary Holland. All right, we'll be right back with another hour. Hold on.